Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
This week's reading from Scripture is coming from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. And if you've got a Bible handy, I just want to encourage you to grab your Bibles, grab your iPads or your phones and open up the Bible app, and let's have a look together at Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. And we'll unpack this a little bit later as I come to bring the message. It says there, verse 1, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, 'I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up?' When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, 'Moses, Moses.' And Moses said, 'Here I am.' 'Do not come any closer,' God said. 'Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground.' Then he said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham this morning. And Father, as I preach your word, Father, I pray that it will not be about me, but all about you. And Father, as I do so, then people will encounter you, people will be challenged, they'll be inspired. Father, people will just know that you are speaking to them today, and we're believing that you're going to do great things in people's lives as a result of this message. And so, Father, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen." So maybe about 15 years or so ago, we went on a missions trip off to Peru, and Elizabeth and I were leading this missions trip, the first time I've ever done anything like that. And we had all these preconceived plans. We decided beforehand, really, what God was going to do on that trip. We believed that God, certain people are going to get saved, and we believed that God was going to work in somebody else's life to restore somebody's marriage, and we tried to push to make things happen. We were pushing and trying to make it happen, trying to force God to do the things that we wanted him to do. And of course, it didn't quite happen like that. And it only led to frustration in our lives. We were getting frustrated on this trip. We were getting frustrated with the people who were there. But we just kept on trying to push and force and more pushing to try and get it to work. But actually, it was only when we realized that we had to stop pushing. And we had to position ourselves correctly so we could hear God speaking clearly. And when we did that, and we could hear God speaking to us because we stopped pushing and started positioning ourselves, he moved in people's lives. And people got saved. And it was just an amazing time. Do you know, I had planned before I went on holiday to preach a different message, one that I had prepared before I went away. But whilst I was on holiday, God really spoke to me. And it was in the strangest place where he spoke to me. I went to South Queens Ferry, and we were sitting in the car with ice cream and coffee, and we're in the car because typical Scotland, it had just started raining as we got our ice cream and our coffee, and we kind of got away from the hustle and the bustle, away from the kind of rattle, because it was really busy. And we stopped kind of pushing ourselves, and we just positioned in the car when I heard God speaking clearly to me. And then within maybe 40 minutes, I'd sat on my phone taking loads of notes, and I had the outline of this message already because I just positioned myself to hear God speaking to me. So today I want to continue our theme for 2020 and on Stronger, and I want to speak today on the subject of stronger positioning. And I can say that God has shown up in powerful ways at times. I do have visions and dreams, but they're often not as dramatic as I imagine them to be. And more often than not, they're a result of positioning myself and not pushing myself for God to speak. In fact, it's often the times that I'm not taking the time to be with God that he has to speak louder to get my attention. And before we look at some of the ways that we can position ourselves to have an encounter with God, let's examine a few of the most common hurdles, the most common barriers that people will put up when they say that they can't encounter or experience God working in their life. Firstly, people will say things like, we are too busy and we don't know how to do it. We're just too busy. We can't fit it in. We can't fit in that encounter with God into our busy life. And during my holidays, I started reading a book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by a guy called John Mark Comer. And it's an excellent book, and I would really recommend you that you read this book. And when I was reading that book, I was desperate to read more. I was desperate to keep reading that, and I was almost in a hurry to get the book finished. But then I remembered the title, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And there's so many quotes that I could share from that book, but let me share this one section from the book that really challenged me at the time when I read it. And it says in the book, "Do you ever catch yourself with a sneaking suspicion that you'll wake up on your deathbed with this nagging sense that somehow, in all the hurry and busyness and all the frenetic activity, you missed the most important things? Somehow you started a business but ended a marriage. You got your kids to their dream colleges but never taught them the way of Jesus. You got a letter after your name but learned the hard way that intelligence is not the same as wisdom. You made a lot of money but never grew rich, and all that matters most, which ironically aren't things at all. You watched all 14 seasons of whatever but never learned to love prayer." And this is a terrifying aspect of this conversation, because most of us, we waste copious amounts of time, myself included. For all the talk and hurry and overload, most of it is self-inflicted. Philip Zimbardo's recent research on the demise of guys has concluded that the average guy spends 10,000 hours playing video games by age 21. 10,000 hours. And my mind jumps to the research around this rule. In 10,000 hours, you could master any craft or become an expert in any field. From Sumerian archaeology to Olympic water polo, you could get your bachelor's degree and your master's degree. You could memorize the New Testament. Or you could beat level 4 of Call of Duty. And how we spend our time is how we spend our lives. It's who we become or don't become. And that was a very sobering and challenging read to me the first time that I read it, and it's still sobering and challenging to me today. And it really doesn't take long each day to position ourselves for a God encounter, and we can do it anywhere. But to build a relationship with anyone takes a continued effort in the same direction. It's about being intentional to meet with God daily. Start with 5 minutes a day. That's all you need. Start with 5 minutes a day. And although it can be helpful to find a quiet space, and encountering God is not just exclusive to those times when we're locked alone in a room. You can encounter God easily whenever you're doing an activity which doesn't involve speaking or thinking intensely. You might be doing things around the house, you might be travelling somewhere, taking a shower, falling asleep at night. See, not having enough time is not a true excuse. It's about how you use the time that you have, even when you're doing other things. Secondly, and I've heard this argument a lot, we are scared that experiencing God is not grounded in the Bible. And it's one of the biggest arguments I've heard against seeking an encounter with God, that we shouldn't be seeking these experiences with God. And this argument could maybe on the surface appear logical until you compare it with other daily relationships. Can you imagine me saying to Elizabeth on our wedding day, "Well, we're married now, and I'm just going to hand you my diary. This diary that I wrote, and telling you how to be a good wife and have a relationship with me, but I'm never going to talk to you other than through that diary. And we may be married, but please don't seek after experiences with me unless I initiate them, and I won't, because I only speak through the diary from this day forwards." That would just be totally ridiculous and would not be the basis of a healthy and sustainable marriage or relationship. And now, of course, God has blessed us with his word, and it's an absolute treasure trove to help us to understand how to relate to him and to understand his character. I would have loved a guidebook so complete of Elizabeth when we got married. I would even taken a one-page document to let me know how Elizabeth works and how her mind functions, but I don't have that. But it's through his word that we learn to recognize his voice, what it sounds like, what sort of things that might be from him. But reading the word does not automatically lead us to encounter God. See, Jesus tells us in John 17, verse 3, that eternal life is knowing the Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the sent one. See, the word known here is the Greek word ginosoko. And it means to know someone experientially, firsthand, and intimately. It's the same word used when Mary asked the angel how it was possible for her to have a baby when she had never known a man. It's translated in other verses to mean to become aware of or to perceive. Life abundant, eternal life is knowing God experientially and intimately. Knowing about him is useless. It doesn't lead us to encounter him. See, Satan knows all about God, but he avoids and hates all expression of him. But when we read the Bible, we also see how God encounters individual after individual, and how he responds to his people's desire to encounter him. See, it was not God's idea to set up a temple for people to meet with him, but he responded to David's idea with favor because he was so desired to meet his people. God's idea was the Spirit indwelling us as believers so that we no longer have to go to a temple to meet with him, but simply recognize that we are the temple and encounter him wherever and wherever we want to. And you can read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. And then thirdly, sometimes we don't really know what a God encounter actually is. A God encounter is any time we meet with God that we experience him. It may happen when we're reading the scriptures and God speaks clearly into a situation that we're facing. It might be a burning in our hearts as we worship him and we come alive in a way that we haven't felt before. It might be a dream we had last night. And we might know that he's trying to say something, but we're not sure what yet. It might be peace in our hearts when a friend encourages us. An encounter with God is any time we recognize God's presence in our midst. And the Bible tells us that we live and breathe and have our being in him in Acts chapter 17. See, God is all around us, and as believers, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. God's presence is with us. But an encounter is when we recognize that presence in a particular situation when we experience God. And now that we've looked at a few of the most common hurdles to encountering God, let's look at some of the ways that we can position ourselves for an encounter with God. When we stop pushing and start positioning, then we can hear God clearly in our lives and we can experience him in our lives. We can have that encounter with him. So firstly, if you want to experience and encounter God in your life, then firstly you have to pay attention to life itself. See, we saw in our scripture reading from Exodus chapter 3 that when God met Moses from inside a burning bush, Moses first had to turn aside and notice. He had to notice that bush was burning without burning up. He could have just walked on right by it and totally ignored it, but he was paying attention to life. When God sent an angel to Joseph after Jesus' birth to tell him to escape to Egypt, he could have ignored the message and taken that the dream came from somewhere else. Maybe he ate something dodgy the night before and that's what caused the dream. But God is trying to communicate with us all the time. All around us there are opportunities to recognize him and encounter him. Romans chapter 1 verse 20 tells us that creation shows us who God is. And Psalm 19 verse 1 tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God. Electricity is all around us, but it's absolutely useless until I plug in my device. Until I plug in the device, I'll not benefit from the power that's all around us. Equally, God can be speaking to us and display his glory all around us, but unless we are plugged in and paying attention, then we'll miss most of what he's trying to tell us. See, there are times where God may speak to us in more dramatic ways, but these times often have a greater responsibility attached to them. And I once heard someone saying that the more powerful the prophetic encounter that they had, the greater the opposition to the fulfillment of God's word, the more faith he would need to stand in the face of adversity. See, dramatic encounters with God aren't meant to empower us to keep advancing in God's kingdom, but they are the exception rather than the rule, and to look for them as the kind of the rule of our relationship with God means missing out on the daily small encounters that you can have. If you're always looking for the big dramatic experience, then you're going to miss the small daily occurrences when you can encounter God each and every single day. See, God encounters are not accompanied by an angel holding up a big flashing neon sign declaring, "You are encountering God now." Most are about our willingness to pay attention to what's happening all around us. Secondly, to position yourself properly to have that encounter with God, I want to encourage you to pay attention to your emotions. See, our emotions are never meant to be our compass, but they are God-given tools to help us pay attention. See, when we feel uncomfortable or we're at peace or excited or angry and we're not sure why, we can use those emotions to ask the Holy Spirit if he's trying to tell us something. In Luke 24, the disciples on the road to Emmaus had an encounter with the living God as Jesus walked along with them explaining the scriptures. Now, I always find it really funny when I think about that passage, because there you've got the disciples walking and Jesus is walking beside them, and the disciples are trying to tell Jesus all about Jesus. Have you not heard Jesus? And he's trying to tell Jesus. It always makes me laugh when I think about that. But it wasn't until later that their eyes were opened and they realized that their heart had been trying to tell them all along that it was actually Jesus that they were talking to. In verse 32 in Luke 24, it says, they said to one another, "Where are not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road?" So the next time you feel strongly about something, ask God to speak to you through it. And that brings us on to our third point. If you want to position yourself to have an encounter with God in your life, I want to encourage you to ask questions. Don't just presume something is from God. Ask him and let his peace reign in your heart. Read the Bible and check that what you are feeling aligns with his character. Ask mature Christian friends or leaders to confirm whether they feel like something you feel is God, and it's God saying in your life, especially if it's a directional thing, you're feeling like God's telling you to go in a particular direction. Always, always ask questions. Check it out with other people. Don't just jump in there with both feet. See, God encounters are not just to make us feel good about ourselves. They always have a purpose. What has God tried to say to you during this encounter? Is there something he wants to confirm to you? Is there something he's wanting you to do? Is there something that he is challenging you on, maybe an aspect of your behavior? Because that is a God encounter, whether we like it or not, when he challenges our behavior. But when God meets us in relationship, we have a responsibility as individuals to respond. And the role of the Holy Spirit is to lead us into all truth. So ask him to lead you. Ask him to lead you. And if you ask your Father to give you the Holy Spirit, Luke chapter 11, verse 13 tells us that he will. He will. So I want you to take a minute in this service to take some time for all of us right now to encounter God, for all of us to position ourselves so that we can encounter God. And it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter if you're in your living room, if you're in your kitchen, or even your bedroom, or if you're on the train or listening to a podcast. It does not matter where you are. We can all encounter God right now. It doesn't matter if you're watching it live on a Sunday morning or you're watching the replay later, you can encounter God. I just want to encourage you, wherever you are.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.